No changes in the quarantine status of Metro Manila and neighboring provinces despite rising COVID-19 cases. President Duterte orders authorities to prevent unvaccinated people from leaving their homes. The Philippines' first Olympic gold medalist, Heidelin Diaz, forgives Malacañang for dragging her into an alleged destabilization plot. And former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV upset over Vice President Lenny Robredo's meeting with presidential aspirant Senator Pancho Lacson about a possible alliance. We'll speak with former Senator Antonio Trillanes and the Vice President spokesperson, Attorney Barry Gutierrez, later on in the program. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with this story. No lockdown of Metro Manila and nearby provinces. That's despite calls from health experts and local officials to implement it due to the spread of the Delta COVID-19 variant. The NCR and surrounding provinces will remain under general community quarantine with heightened restrictions for another 2 weeks. More areas have also been placed under the stricter GCQ from August 1 to 15th, including Davao City, Bacolod City, and Cagayan. President Rodrigo Duterte also approved the recommendation of the Interagency Task Force to extend the enhanced community quarantine in the province of Iloilo, Cagayan de Oro City, and Gingog City until August 7th. Meanwhile, Ilocos Norte, Bataan, Lapu-Lapu City, and Mandaue City will be placed under modified ECQ until August 15th. Several other areas like Baguio City, Isabela, and Zamboanga were put under a regular general community quarantine. As for the rest of the country, modified GCQ, or the loosest lockdown classification, will be followed. Well, prior to Malacañang's announcement on the quarantine restrictions, Metro Manila mayors sought a hard lockdown. Metropolitan Manila Development Authority Chairman Benhur Abalo said they're willing to be placed under enhanced community quarantine for 2 weeks. But that's if the national government can provide aid to affected residents. For a group of local researchers, the government must be proactive. They maintain the implementation of GCQ with heightened restrictions might not be enough to curb the spread of COVID-19 in Metro Manila.
Pag tumaas yung healthcare utilization, ibig sabihin madami ng kaso kasi hindi naman agad-agad na ho-hospitalize yung mga cases. Ito yung strategy na ginamit natin nung early this year, nung February to March. Nung February, nakita namin na tumataas ng kaso. Nagbigay na kami ng ano, hindi naman kami nag-alarm nun or naging alarmist. We were being cautious. Sinabi namin, tumataas ng kaso, kailan may gawin tayo? And nagkaroon tayo ng response nung 1 month later, nung mga March 28, nag-ECQ kasi sobrang taas na ng kaso at noon medyo napupunan na yung mga hospitals. So ibig sabihin, kung ganun yung strategy natin, I encourage na i-re-examine natin yung the way we examine or ano yung identify mga indicators natin.
The Philippine Chamber of Commerce and Industry, the largest business organization in the country, clarifies it is not endorsing the declaration of another lockdown at this time. PCCI Acting President Edgardo Lacson says their leadership was misquoted on the issue of tightening quarantines. He insists the government must first adopt a wait-and-see stance to see if the healthcare sector can handle a possible surge. Both employers and workers groups also rejecting proposals for a hard lockdown.
Sige, wag lockdown tayo, lockdown tayo. Mamatay tayo lahat. Sa gutom. We have to live with it. We have to balance it. Ngayon, kung talagang sinasabi ka ni Mr. Percel, kung ipipilit nila, bigyan mo lang kami ng time. Hindi kagaya nung nakaraan na huling-huli, bigla na lang all of a sudden, in-announce yung lockdown.
Hindi po kami pabor dito kasi ang equivalent niyan sa mga manggagawa kawalan na naman ng trabaho at kabuhayan. At kasunod niyan, syempre, gutom sa mga manggagawa natin.
Sa some cities in Cebu appealing for a reconsideration on their quarantine status. Lapu-Lapu and Mandaue cities are set to be placed under tighter restrictions by August 1st, but local officials are calling on the government to let them stay under a modified general community quarantine. Officials are concerned about the possible economic impact of stricter health protocols. They say COVID-19 cases may have spiked but have yet to reach critical levels. They also question why Cebu Province and Cebu City's quarantine classification did not change despite having more infections based on the latest figures. The Philippine General Hospital on heightened alert. That's after 21 of the country's 72 local Delta variant cases were found to have either been admitted or tested positive there. The PGH is the country's biggest COVID-19 referral hospital. Dr. Jonas Del Rosario says about 7 patients were admitted, including 2 unvaccinated persons who died. The rest had mild symptoms and were outpatients. Del Rosario adds the PGH is prepared to handle a possible surge in COVID-19 patients.
We have also increased our supply, trying to replenish our oxygen supply, the equipment. We're about 250 bed COVID facility. So we're making sure that when the time comes that the numbers are increasing, then we should be ready.
The interagency task force decided not to place the National Capital Region under a lockdown to prevent economic losses. That's according to Philippine Trade Chief Ramon Lopez. He says the IATF believes COVID-19 cases in the NCR remain manageable.
Delta na mga na-detect so far na na-i-i-tored and controlled. It is being closely watched. Iwasan natin, nabanggito natin dati, that you bear another massive lockdown unless talaga yung situation na talagang meron ng bumubulusok na isang surge.
The Philippines reported another 4,478 new COVID cases on Wednesday. Of this number, Health Secretary Francisco Duque III says 1,151 are from Metro Manila.
Talagang tumataas ang bilang ng mga kaso mula sa NCR dahil noong nakaraan linggo ay halos asa umigit kumulang 650 kaso lamang ang naitatala. Ngayon po ay halos padoble na tayo. Meron na po tayong local transmission ng Delta variant at kinakailangan natin pong palakasin ang pagpapatupad ng atin pong mga measures. Ito po.
The country also logged its highest positivity rate since May 1st of the 34,199 individuals who underwent COVID-19 testing on Monday. 15% tested positive. There were also 84 new deaths and 6,000 more recoveries. President Rodrigo Duterte wants village officials to bar unvaccinated people from going outdoors. He says police can escort unvaccinated individuals back to their homes if they are seen outside. Duterte assures authorities he will take responsibility for any legal issues that may arise from his order.
We have to come up with a law punishing a person who has not been vaccinated and going around. We do not have a law, a punitive action that can be taken against a person who does not have the vaccine and go around. Kaya siguro pag ganon, ang mga barangay captain na lang, pag ayaw nila magpabakuna, huwag mo silang palabalisin ng bahay. Sabihin natin walang batas, maghintay pa ba ako sa batas kung marami na naman ang mamatay?
PNP Chief Guillermo Eleazar assured the public no arrests will be made and maximum tolerance will be observed in implementing the president's order. The Philippines receives another batch of Sinovac COVID-19 vaccines. 1.5 million doses arrived at the Ninoy Aquino International Airport Thursday morning. This raises the country's vaccine stockpile to 31 million. But Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. says 42.6 million more doses are needed to meet their target. A total of 6.83 million Filipinos are now fully vaccinated against COVID-19.
Only 400 to 500,000. Pero talaga po nagpusuporsige po ang ating mga LGUs na kahit na po bumabagyo at umulan ay ginagamit po nila yung mga malls at saka yung mga buildings na talagang hindi po mababasa ang ating mga kababayan.
England relaxes quarantine rules for fully vaccinated visitors from the European Union and the United States. This report gives us details.
England announced on Wednesday it will allow fully vaccinated visitors from the United States and the European Union to visit without needing to be quarantined. A huge and long-awaited boost, not just for those separated from loved ones, but for airlines and travel companies, which have been pushing for an easing of restrictions. British Transport Secretary Grant Shapps.
We've always said we'd need to move in line with what's going on in the real world. Obviously, people being vaccinated in Europe and in America now means that we can move to that next stage, which is allowing people to come here. And if they are double vaccinated, avoid having to quarantine as long as they've taken a test before they leave and after they arrive.
Britain's travel industry has criticized the government for being too slow to open up, saying it has squandered its lead in the global vaccine rollout and given the EU a head start in attracting tourists. The new rule, which takes effect on August 2nd, currently only applies to England, but is widely expected to be followed by the rest of Britain shortly. The government said international cruise sailings could also restart from England. Weighed down by cumulative pandemic losses of $4 billion, airlines such as British Airways and Britain's biggest airport, Heathrow, welcomed the move, but said more was needed to be done if the industry is to recover from a collapse in demand. Vaccinated travelers also still have to take a COVID-19 test before departure and shortly after arrival in England.
Tokyo sees a second straight daily record of new COVID-19 cases. The host of this year's Olympics logged 3,177 new infections Wednesday. Residents growing more worried about the COVID situation there as the games continue. Tokyo is under its fourth state of emergency, which is due to last through the Olympics. The high infection numbers are expected to affect support ratings of Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga ahead of a ruling party leadership race and a general election this year. The recent withdrawal of American gymnast Simone Biles from the Tokyo Games puts a spotlight on the mental health of athletes and how pandemic restrictions have taken a toll on them. Here's the full story.
Isolation and the absence of family and friends have taken a toll on athletes' mental health at the Tokyo Games, with some struggling to cope with the challenges posed by the COVID-19 pandemic while carrying their country's hopes on the global sports stage. After her stunning exit from the women's gymnastics team event on Tuesday, Simone Biles said she felt she had been carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders. That burden seems to have been exacerbated by a year of grief, loss, and restrictions tied to the pandemic. Athletes have seen their pre-Olympic training disrupted by lockdowns and restricted access to athletic facilities. Their families and friends also can't cheer for them in the stands in Tokyo, and their movements are heavily restricted. Biles, who also pulled out of an individual all-around competition on Wednesday, said, quote, "Usually you hang out in the village, all that stuff. It does suck when you feel the weight of the world. There are no outlets with the amount of training that we do." Gymnast Angelina Melnikova of the Russian Olympic Committee, who beat the United States to win gold in the women's team event, said it has been a, quote, "difficult road since 2019. Other athletes have also contracted COVID-19, either before or even during the games, threatening to derail their years of grueling work toward the Olympics.
I think she's handled it beautifully.
But amid the stress and fierce competition, athletes like U.S. gold medalist surfer Carissa Moore are cheering Biles on for putting her mental health first.
That's hard to do in a world where people expect so much of you and have this idea of what success looks like. for her to take her power back and just be like, hey, this is what's best for me. This is what success looks like for me. That's really hard.
USA Gymnastics said Biles is being evaluated to see if she can take part in the individual apparatus finals next week.
Letting bygones be bygones, the Philippines' first Olympic gold medal winner, Heidelin Diaz, says she has forgiven Malacanang for tagging her in a supposed destabilization plot some 2 years ago. That's despite the palace's refusal to issue a formal apology. More in this report.
Years of preparation and a whole lot of faith. That's what the Philippines' first Olympic gold medalist, Heidelin Diaz, says helped her conquer the women's 55 kilograms weightlifting competition at the Tokyo Games. She recounted following several rituals, like wearing the same suit she wore during training camp for the actual competition. But Heidelin says what erased her doubts was the support of her team and her loved ones back home.
Hinawakan ko ito. Pinapa-remind sa akin na ang daming taong nagpe-pray, ang daming taong nag-o-offer ng lubina para sa oras na to. So naging kampante ako, nag-inhale-exhale ako, pre-practice ko yung yoga training ko na inhale-exhale, believe, tapos release ko lahat ng doubts, then pumasok ako. Sinabi ko sa sarili ko, one motion, inisip ko yung technique, then... Nangyari. Nagawa ko. Sa wakas, parang ganun yung feeling.
Heidelin received our hero's welcome when she arrived in Manila Wednesday evening, even getting a congratulatory salute from President Rodrigo Duterte during an online courtesy call. Duterte announced that Diaz will be given a Presidential Medal of Merit, a fully furnished house and lot in Zamboanga City, 3 million pesos in cash from his own pocket, and 10 million pesos from the government.
We cannot express even in the words of an athlete how we should really be shouting hallelujah. Pero salamat naman sa pagtiis mo. I hope that the years of toil, the years of disappointments, and the years na hindi maganda nangyari in the past, just forget them. You already have the gold is gold, and it would be good for you to just let bygones be bygones and dwell solely on your victory.
The bygones President Duterte may be referring to is this presentation by the palace back in 2019, showing a list of people who were allegedly plotting to oust the chief executive. Heidelin was among those included in the matrix, although she was eventually cleared. The man who presented it, Chief Presidential Legal Counsel Salvador Panelo, insists there is no need to say sorry to the champion weightlifter. Heidelin says she has already forgiven Malacanang, even if they don't want to apologize to her.
Sabi ko, I have to forgive all the people na binasya ko, and may life na threat ako. Yun yung down moment ko, pero ayun nga, na-realize ko na yun ang nagpalakas din sa akin eh. As an athlete, mas lalo ako naging determinado, mas lalo kong minahal ang Pilipinas. Kasi at the end of the day, mas kailangan ko yung peace of mind ko. As long as nag-moving forward ako at nagawa ko ng maayos at na-serve at na-represent ko ang Pilipinas, masaya ako.
Meanwhile, aside from millions of pesos in cash incentives, free houses, and eye-popping incentives from private sponsors, Heidelin is also set to be immortalized in her hometown of Zamboanga City. A concrete memorial will be built in her honor in front of the city's memorial sports complex. The Philippine Post Office will also be releasing its first-ever Olympic gold stamp in honor of Heidelin.
Philippine swimmer Remedy Rule was one of the country's Olympic debutantes in the Tokyo Games. She spoke to her very own Migs Bustos about her Olympic experience, and Migs now joins us for more on that. Migs, nice to see you. What else can you tell us?
Thank you, Casey. Though she went home empty-handed from Tokyo, Remedy Rule says she was able to gain much-needed experience against the world's best swimmers. Here is my interview with the Olympian. So we have Remedy Rule, our Filipina swimmer who participated in the Tokyo Olympics. Remedy, just want to say congrats. Gallant stand. And of course, you made it to the semifinals of the women's 200-meter butterfly. Congratulations to you. And just fresh from that competition, Remedy, I just want to ask you, how was the whole Olympic experience?
Oh, it's been unreal. I think most of the time here, I've been smiling and I'm really grateful for my teammate Luke here. I think we're just trying to soak it all in, and throughout the day we'll look at each other and we're like, we're at the Olympics. Just just feel gratitude, and just make the most of every moment.
What lessons did you learn from your competitions?
I think the biggest lesson is just, my best on different days is going to look different. And, I gave my best yesterday and I gave my best today. It wasn't an all-time best time, but, I feel like I find some peace knowing that I gave all that I had today.
Right. What was it like going up against the best, from around the world?
I guess a little intimidating, but mostly just really exciting racing the best in the world and being able to swim in a pool with them and consider myself one of them as well.
No, for you personally, Remedy, we've had you here on the show before you actually went to Tokyo. That was like pre-Olympic preparations. But just for context for our viewers now, what were your preparations? Even to the littlest detail, if you could share to us, and how did that apply in the actual competition?
Well, I guess one of the biggest things was getting here, just making sure all the negative COVID tests, and then all my travel documents. That was definitely a little stressful. So that was the first preparation. It's funny, when I was actually checking into my flight, they weren't giving me my boarding pass because they're like, oh, why are you traveling? And I was like, oh, I'm going to the Olympics. And then we went back and forth. She's like, oh, no, I don't think you're allowed to travel. And then I was like, I'm like an Olympic athlete. And she's like, oh, you never said you were an athlete. Here's your boarding pass. You look like an athlete. I'm like, okay. So I was like, that was a very stressful start. Right.
You can catch my full interview with Remedy Rule on ANC Conversations this Saturday at 9 in the morning. And I'll be back tomorrow with another interview, this time tackling the recent success of Filipino athletes in sports where the country previously had low success rates. By the way, Casey, another boxer has reached the quarterfinal round of the middleweight division. Yumir Martial quickly dispatched his Algerian opponent in the round of 16. The referee was forced to stop the fight late in the first round after Martial's powerful punches opened a cut above his opponent's right eye. Another victory will assure Martial of at least a bronze medal. Now, Casey, for some who are asking, with Nessie Petesho's win also yesterday in the quarterfinal round, at least Nessie Petesho, and hopefully Yumir Martial will advance to the semis. There will be top four athletes, and they're assured of a bronze medal. In boxing, there will be two bronze medalists. So that's why the headlines say that if they go to the semifinals, they're assured of a medal. So at least there will be two bronze medals, at least in the event of boxing. And Nesty Petesho is assured of that. If Yumir Martial wins the next round, he will also be assured of a bronze medal, Casey.
But make no mistake about it, Migs, they're going for gold. They may
going
be
for gold.
Bronze, but they're going for gold.
Going for gold indeed. Thank you, Casey.
All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Meg. See you again tomorrow. Can't wait for that next interview that you have lined up for us. Thanks again. Our very own Meg Bustos joining us today. Moving on, a heavy rainfall warning that's up over several provinces in northern Luzon. Let's check on the weather conditions now in other parts of the country. We have on the line Pagasa weather forecaster Ariel Rojas. Ariel?
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. The southwest monsoon continues to bring monsoon rains over Ilocos Region, Benguet, Zambales, Bataan, Tarlac, Pampanga, and Occidental Mindoro. While Metro Manila, the rest of the zone, and western Visayas will be experiencing occasional rains. And talking about heavy rainfall warning, at 11 this morning, our regional offices in Metro Manila and in northern Luzon issued orange warning level for intense rainfall over Zambales, Bataan, Pampanga, and the northwestern part of of Pangasinan over flooding is threatening in low-lying areas. Yellow warning level is hoisted over Metro Manila, Bulacan, Tarlac, and this is for heavy rainfall and flooding is possible in low-lying areas. The next update on the heavy rainfall warning will be released at 2 this afternoon. And the rest of the country, central and eastern Visayas and the entire Mindanao, continues to experience warm and humid weather conditions with possibilities of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon or later early evening. And the fisher folks and those with small sea craft are still not allowed to venture out into the open seas of northern, western, and southern seaboards of Luzon due to big waves, still due to the southwest monsoon or habagat. We are monitoring a newly formed low-pressure area inside PAR, but this is more than 1,000 kilometers east-northeast of extreme northern Luzon. This is over the Philippine Sea, far from land, and this is not affecting the weather here in Luzon. This is a low-pressure area. It's not expected to develop into a tropical cyclone and may just leave the PAR in the next 24 to 48 hours. Apart from this, we are not monitoring any weather disturbances that may form within or enter the PAR in the next 3 to 5 days. Habagat will continue to bring rainy weather over much of Luzon until early next week. And that's the latest from PAGASA. This is Ariel Rojas, and good afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Ariel, to you and the rest of the team there. Thanks for all that you do. Ariel Rojas there from our PAGASA Weather Forecasting Center. Thanks again for joining us today. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, the Magdalo Group threatening to cut ties with the Liberal Party following a meeting between possible presidential contenders, Vice President Lenny Robredo and Senator Panfilo Lacson. We'll tackle that with former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV and the Vice President spokesperson, Attorney Barry Gutierrez, when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. We are back. We're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. No changes in the quarantine status of Metro Manila and neighboring provinces. That's despite rising COVID-19 cases. President Duterte orders authorities to prevent unvaccinated people from leaving their homes. The Philippines' first Olympic gold medalist, Heidilyn Diaz, forgives Malacanang for dragging her into an alleged destabilization plot. And former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV, upset over Vice President Lenny Robredo's meeting with presidential aspirant Senator Panfilo Lacson about a possible alliance. Back with more news. Potential candidates meet to forge a possible alliance for the upcoming elections. Vice President Lenny Robredo met with Senator Panfilo Lacson and Senator Richard Gordon separately. All parties admit discussing a possible team-up to form a solid opposition, but they did not reveal any more details about those meetings.
Upo kami, kasama ko rin si Senate President with Vice President Lenny. No, at the time, kasama niya si Senator Bam Aquino. Hindi ko lang ma-divulge yung pinag-usapan kasi nga wala naman ng authority sa kanya para i-share yung aming pinag-usapan. Pero nag-usap na kami.
I know where I'm going. I think she knows where she's going as well. And she's a very nice lady. I respect her. And that's what we need. Respectable people who will run the country. It's a coalition. Yeah. In addition. But yeah, what I'm looking at as a new deal.
Okay.
New people who are accomplished in their job.
Robredo's meeting with Lacson did not sit well with former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV. In a social media post, Trillanes said the Magdalo Group will no longer join the Liberal Party should Robredo decide to give way to Lacson. Meanwhile, the Lacson-Soto tandem is also talking to Senator Manny Pacquiao, who is also said to be eyeing the presidency under the ruling PDP-Laban Party. All right, for more on his reaction now to Vice President Robredo's meeting with Senator Panfilo Lacson, we're now joined by former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV. Senator?
Yes, Carmina. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon to you. Okay, so what do you make now of the confirmation that the meetings indeed took place. In a social media post, you had said that you hope that it is not true. You also said, let me just get to that post. You said, Vice President Lenny, I hope this is not true, pero kung totoo ito, pasensya na po, pero the Magdalo Group would not join you and the LP kung mag-give way kayo para kay Senator Lacson. May I remind you also na si Senator Lacson ay isa sa nagtulak sa unjust imprisonment of your party mate Senator De Lima, but it has been confirmed. The meeting indeed took place. What do you make of that meeting, Senator?
Okay. Well, it's unfortunate if that's the case because there are only two scenarios there. First, that VP Lenny would run and Senator Lacson would give way. And there's no problem with that. But let me remind everyone that Senator Lacson didn't give way to SPJ back in 2004. And Senator Lacson is already a declared candidate, whereas VP Lenny has yet to declare her intentions. Mm-hmm. Now, for the other scenario, that VP Lenny would give way to Senator Lacson is something that is not acceptable to us. And that is our right also as a member of the opposition. They did not consult us about this, so we're just giving our opinion about this scenario. We're drawing the line that if you go that direction, we won't be joining you. And that's why I needed to cite the case of Senator De Lima, because Senator De Lima is the symbol of injustice right now of Duterte. She was framed up, and Senator Lacson is part of that, and he's even unapologetic about it, among other things. Then we also gave the camp of the Vice President the dossier of Senator Lacson as posted by General Beroya in our the PMA's Viber group. Mm-hmm. So they know what kind of person Senator Lacson is, and mm-hmm. yet they went ahead. So this is not a principled or coalition built on principles, but coalition based on convenience and expediency. So outcome is a ganon. Hindi ganon ang ano namin.
Pero hindi nyo naman. I guess the question is really about the Vice President giving way, or is this really about you losing a possible slot there as a possible vice presidential candidate with VP Lenny as president? Go ahead, Senator.
Well, no, there's no such scenario, because if Senator Lacson is coming in with a vice presidential candidate, Senator Soto, there's no VP issue there. And as far as I'm concerned, I can live without any official position. In fact, I don't have any official position right now. Remember, I've been teaching for the past 2 years. Therefore, if I'm really greedy about power, I should have run for whatever seat, right? So that's a sidebar. We believe that VP Lenny can win if she wants to. That's why all this talk of defeatism coming from the Liberal Party and from VP herself has no basis. We question that. They keep on saying that she can't win if she won't align with the others. Now, aligning per se sounds right, but then who's going to align with whom? Who's going to give way for whom, right? So that's the issue.
We do know, Senator, former Senator Trinidadis, we do know that this meeting took place because it was brokered by no less than the president of the Liberal Party, Senator Kiko Pangilinan. What do you make of that?
Precisely. Ibig sabihin ito, merong consent. This is a proactive decision on their part to include the VPLN. So that's why I was questioning it. I was giving her the benefit of the doubt that that this thing didn't happen, but the fact that it did raises alarm bells or red flags for us. Because hindi pwedeng ganito, no? Kasi this, the most powerful message of the opposition is change. Pag sumama tayo sa mga taong ganyan, then that message is lost. Now, ngayon ko lang ang nalaman na nakipag-meeting din kay Gordon, then that's even worse.
Gordon
was the chairman of the committee that whitewashed the investigation on the EJ case. Sinabi niya na there is no state-sponsored killings. Tinir niya si Duterte. He is complicit, he is an enabler. And in fact, kasama yan, sinama namin sa case namin sa ICC. So these are the people na makikipag-align tayo kahit na anong itsura pa niyan. Hindi yan acceptable sa amin. Kasi limang taong kami lumaban dito sa gobyerno na to. And come to think of it, nilabanan nga ba talaga nila?
Diba? So now you're even doubting that?
Well, I'm trying to review the events. Ano? Kasi even itong sa ICC case, when we filed it, nag-file yung magdalo ng impeachment complaint kay Duterte, pinitigilan pa kami.
Nino po?
Ito muna. Maybe some members of the opposition at baka daw tamaan si, ano, ni VP Leng. E ngayon, tinitignan ko, ngayon si Senator Laila Dilima, I would have wanted sana, no, kung kinausap nila si Senator Lacson when he was presiding over that committee hearing that was pinning Senator Dilima down. Kung doon nila kinausap, nila VP Leni si Senator Lacson to back down, okay sana yun, pero hindi eh. They allowed it to happen. They literally abandoned her. Tapos ngayon, kakausapin niyo yung ano, yung enabler doon, tsaka yung nagtulak.
And having said that, former Senator, what does that tell you about these talks, about the Liberal Party, if everything that you just said is true? What does that tell you about them?
Okay, well, I'm just reminding them that they do not own the opposition. They are not the opposition. So, in fact, hindi nga sila nag-join ng isang bayan eh. And punta tayo doon, the agreement was everybody would submit to that isang bayan nomination process. Kasi ginawa nila yung pag-build ng broad coalition na hindi naman nagawa ng mga opposition. So, nag-submit kami doon. And all along, we were just waiting. We were submitting to the process. Then suddenly, we found out hindi pala kasama yung Liberal Party. And here comes the Vice President trying to replicate or duplicate what Isang Bayan is doing. So, we're questioning, teka muna, saan kayo pupunta dyan? So, we're just drawing the line.
You just said a while ago, a former senator, that they do not own the opposition, but neither do you. When you talk about this is all because the people want to form this broad coalition. But the same thing can be said about you, former Senator Chilianes. You were also responsible for the undoing of then Vice President Jejomar Binay. And yet you have his very own daughter, your former colleague, Senator Nancy Binay, already forgiving you about it. So I guess people now are maybe thinking, why can't you be as forgiving? Why can't you be as accepting if the opposition is to be successful in forming this broad coalition, Senator?
Okay. The broad coalition has already formed by Isang Bayan. And remember, Senator Lacson rejected that. And eventually, Senator Gordon didn't pass the muster. So it was already formed. When they informed me that the former vice president was part of Isang Bayan, I accepted that. You're talking about swallowing or looking the other way. I did that because I submitted myself to their process. But this one is a conscious effort, a different one, by VP Lenny and the Liberal Party. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, I told you that the reason why these people are unacceptable because the opposition in 2022 will be carrying the strongest message, and this is for change. These people do not represent change. It's a variation of what we have. And worse, they are complicit to the crimes of Mr. Duterte. Mabigat ang kasalanan ni Duterte sa bayan. And these people allowed Duterte to commit those crimes. So hindi dapat natin makalimutan yun.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. We've run out of time. Former Senator Antonio Chelianes, thanks so much for taking our call. Take care and you keep safe.
Salamat po.
From there, we're now going to get the side of Vice President Lenny Robredo. We're now joined by her spokesperson, Attorney Barry Gutierrez. Attorney Barry, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. You heard all that the former senator had to say. Is the vice president sort of diluting her equity by going on all these talks with possible presidential contenders? One already confirmed, Senator Pancho Lacson. Go ahead, Attorney Gutierrez.
Good afternoon, Carmina. First of all, let's be clear. It was a meeting. It was an initial meeting. There was no backing out. There was no alliance formed. There was no political decision made. It was an initial meeting. So I think that to begin with, it is a complete overreaction to conclude that based on a single news report where two people met, that you know, all these consequences will now inevitably unfold. Listening to Senator Trillanes, it's as if he's already assuming that the vice president will withdraw. Or if not, then the vice president will already form an alliance with all these people that that she talked to. That's so far from the truth.
So tell us, Attorney Gutierrez, what is the guiding principle behind all these meetings with Senator Pancho Lacson, Senator Richard Gordon? I mean, we all know where they stand.
The guiding principle has been the same guiding principle from the start that the vice president has declared, mm-hmm. that if we want to win in 2022, we have to start talking to people outside our own echo chambers. That's the basic idea. If we want a strong run in 2022, if we want to have a candidate that will actually win and provide a change of direction after the 2022 elections, then we have to create the broadest possible basis of unity that we can. And that's what she's doing. She's talking to these people. She's exploring whether it will be, in fact, possible to establish some kind of unity with them. If not, then, you know, we go our own separate ways. But if we do not make the effort at all, if we immediately write them off immediately, and not even initiate a simple conversation, then we will only be talking to the people that have been with us ever since. And the problem with that is clearly we won't have the numbers. Not just for the elections, but if you want to govern, you're not just going to be talking to people who agree with you. You will be talking to a greater swath of the entire Philippine public. And I think that's all the vice president is doing here. Besides, mm-hmm. if I may say so, mm-hmm. Senator Trillanes' concerns, you know, are better addressed with a text message rather than a tweet. If he had questions about ano pinag-usapan sa meeting, ibig sabihin ba nito ganito ganyan, then he should have just reached out, diba? He says he considers himself an ally. He has repeatedly said that he considers the vice president the leader of the opposition, and that she should run and he will give way as president. And yet, every time something like this happens, instead of reaching out to the VP or to anybody within the Liberal Party, he will immediately come up with this kind of declaration. And the declaration actually puts the vice president already in a particular position. She's withdrawing and we won't be able to support her if she does. Come mm-hmm. on, we're nowhere near that.
So if having said that, do you think the vice president needs someone like the former senator with her and her team?
Well, he has always been part of the group within the opposition that the vice president has been talking to throughout all these years. That's why I am surprised why he simply does not reach out. If His concerns are, hindi ko alam kung ano napag-usapan. I heard this on the news. Isn't the more logical course? Call or message or at least ask instead of immediately tweeting and making your own conclusions that are based on, you know, obviously incomplete information.
The former senator, though, raised a valid point. The talks were brokered by no less than LP President Senator Kiko Pangilinan with someone who, according to him, was partly responsible for the unjust imprisonment of the vice president's party mate, Senator Laila De Lima.
Well,
what's your reaction to that?
First of all, I am insulted that he would even bring that up. Diba? I am insulted at the insinuation that the vice president has somehow, you know, not done all she can to support Senator Laila De Lima. If you go through all these last 4 years, ever since Senator Laila was imprisoned, the vice president has been very consistent in speaking about the unjustness of what happened to Senator Laila. She has been very consistent in her support. And I'm insulted, actually, that Senator Trillanes would even bring that up to, you know, to score a point. But anyway, setting that aside for the moment, I think brokered is a term that we should make clear. He arranged the meeting. And as I said, and I will go back, it's a meeting. It's a conversation. No, it's an initial exploration of, can we work together? Would you still be willing to withdraw? Is it possible that we can come to some kind of arrangement? But at the end of the day, you know, whether an agreement will actually be forged, whether anything will come from the meeting is, you know, up in the air. And at the end of the day, the vice president will still decide on the basis of what she feels is best for insofar as 2022 is concerned. She has been very, very clear. The imperative for 2022 is to ensure a change in direction in the way national politics has been run in the last 5 years. And she will do what she can in order to make that happen. If that means she will be the candidate, then she will do it. We have repeatedly said this. She will make her decision at the appropriate time. She will announce at the appropriate time. All we ask is that she be given the trust and the space to do so. Senator Trillanes says that he respects that, but every now and then he will make these statements, which seem to indicate that he is not actually willing to extend to her the trust and the space.
And one of those statements he made today, just a few minutes ago, when he basically cast doubt on the motivation of the so-called broad coalition. You were there. You were listening. What do you make of that?
I was actually surprised. And I was actually surprised that he even went so far as to question whether we have opposed the administration. Come on! The vice president has been the receiving end of probably the most vicious negative campaign on social media that we have ever seen in our entire history. She is regularly maligned by high-ranking members of this administration. And she has continuously spoken up on the issues that she feels are important. Everything from human rights to extrajudicial killings to the handling of the pandemic and so on and so forth. So I do not know where he's coming from. I mean, I am frankly baffled as to where he is getting all these things. He knows what the vice president has been doing.
Yeah, and this is not the first time that you've been baffled. We've talked about this before in our past interviews. Every time the senator comes out with a statement and not, as you said, a text to your group just to clarify things. So I guess a question that's now left to be asked is, after all of that, and after your reaction today, can you still work with former Senator Antonio Trillanes? Is there still space for him in this coalition that you're forming?
I would like to think so. You know, he has always been a valued ally, particularly in these last 5 years, despite the fact that, you know, in 2016, he actually ran against the vice president. You know, but, you know, we put that aside. We were able to work with him. I personally like him. Personally, I admire his courage and his outspokenness. But all we want, what I want to say to him right now is really, if you have concerns and we are allies, you can always just reach out. That's the point. When he came out with his expose a few weeks ago, seemingly indicating that the vice president is now going to run for a local position because of the fact that I found out that she changed residence, which was, you know, false, by the way. I already said this. No, you should first reach out instead of you know, immediately coming out with a public announcement. And here we are again. But you know, I would still like to think that you know, there is a lot of room to work with him. There are still a lot of common principles. We have nothing but the highest respect for him. But that's why I find it so strange that he would say something like, "Were they even with us?" Come on.
you know what people find strange as well, Attorney Gutierrez, the fact that the vice president is focusing on her numbers. She keeps on saying or focusing on the 6% that she has right now. What do you make of the observation that the VP is focused too much on that? Why not focus, according to some, on presenting herself as a formidable option come 2022, that 6% is only there now because she hasn't declared?
I think, first of all, that it's erroneous to say that the vice president is focusing too much on the numbers. She's not. She is looking at the numbers, certainly. That is one of the things that she is considering in looking at 2022. But by no means is it the deciding factor or the only factor that she is looking at. She has repeatedly said the easiest thing for me to do is simply to declare and, you know, be done with it. But she looks at it from a bigger view. There is a there is an imperative that she is trying to live up to insofar as 2022 is concerned. And that is doing what is needed in order to ensure that there is a change after the elections. Mm-hmm. So her thinking is, if I'm really going to be the best person to stand up, then no hesitation, I will do it. Mm-hmm. But I have to take into account that what if my running actually, you know, actually leads to dividing the vote among all those in the opposition, and we get a continuation of what we have right now. I think that's her main concern. At the end of the day, I think that she will always decide on the basis of what she thinks will be best for the country insofar as the elections are concerned. Personal ambition has never been at the forefront of any consideration insofar as the vice president is concerned. Her record will bear that out. And I think that you know, people should take a look at that and, you know, trust her that any decision she makes will not be based on just the numbers or her chances or her own personal ambitions, but what she feels is best for the country.
What do you say, finally, Attorney Gutierrez, before we let you go, what do you say to the concern that as she goes around, talks to these people, forms whatever alliances down the road, that she might actually be diluting this broad coalition by sort of muddling the lines? Senator Chilianes there made a point. He thought this is all going to be about change. But then there's that concern that as you go for this change and you form that broad coalition, then the lines seem to get blurred and the lines seem to get muddled. Where will the change come from now? And how will that change look like? It might just look like business as usual. And as the senator pointed out earlier, it may just be a coalition for convenience. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, the fear that the lines may be muddled and that this may be a coalition for convenience is simply a speculation on the part of Senator Trillanes. You know, he'll forgive me if I point that out. The vice president is very clear. You know, any decision, any possible alliance, any possible cooperation still has to be anchored on a shared set of principles, a shared unity insofar as 2022 is concerned. So the point is, we should trust that the vice president talks to all these people, all these players, with that in mind. and that she will not enter into any agreement, she will not enter into any coalition, she will not make any decision without considering that. If Senator, if that is clear to Senator Trillanes personally, he should also trust that that is very clear to the Vice President. She has been very consistent in what she stands for. She has been very consistent in what she expects and wants to happen in 2022. And that will be her guiding light in any conversation she conducts. But make no mistake, the conversations have to happen. They are conversations. Now, if after the conversations, it's clear it's not possible to unite with any of these people because you know we're just too far apart. Then we move on and pursue 2022 on our own terms or with other like-minded people that we may be closer to. But the effort to establish that broad unity has to happen. And the Vice President is precisely doing that because she's serious in wanting to see change in the next election.
Attorney Barry Gutierrez there, spokesperson of Vice President Lenny Robredo. Thanks again for joining us this noon. Always a pleasure talking to you. Take care and keep safe.
You too, Carmina. Keep safe. Thank you.
Thanks. And before we go, here's the latest on Team Philippines in the Tokyo Olympics. Philippine boxer Irish Magno fought valiantly, but got eliminated in the round of 16. Magno fell to her Thai opponent in the women's flyweight division, ending her stint in the Tokyo Games. The Philippines still has three boxers with gold medal chances. Nesty Petesho and Yumir Marshall are already through to the semifinals, while Carlo Paalam will compete in the men's flyweight round of 16. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.